Beth Hover, a member of the board for Our Community Cares volunteer organization, and you're in tune to 90.7 FM, WGXC, Accra.
Gig Talk. Gig Talk.
What's new at WGXC? Well, there are a lot less live musical performances on the air, as there are a lot fewer live musical performances anywhere these days. But WGXC has a new show on Thursday nights at 8 p.m. called Gig Talk. Matt Motel and Kevin Shea take your calls about gigs, musical performances, future, and past. Call in at 518-622-2598. Talk to Matt Motel and Kevin Shea on Gig Talk, Thursday nights at 8 p.m. on WGXC. It's 518-622-2598. Call in to Gig Talk, Thursday at 8, on the radio at 90.7 FM.
Entire neighborhood, so the gig didn't happen. So that was a gig problem.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of the Jazzies of Kinderhook, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Like a fire hydrant, like a public drinking fountain, like a park bench, WGXC is always there for you, at your service. 90.7 FM, community radio.
Still waiting for them to switch to us. Hello and welcome to the Thingularity Radio Program, broadcasting live from points all across Greene County. So please bear with us, folks, tonight as the storm passes overhead. If we happen to lose some sort of communication, we are at the mercy of the weather. And now, the members of the Catskill Maker Syndicate and our guest, can everybody sound off? Start with Brendan. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Jeff?
Who are you and what do you do?
I'm Brendan. Most people know me as Bren. I'm an assistant professor at UAlbany and part of the Purpose Co-working and Makerspace, and then sort of a surrogate recently adopted member of the syndicate.
Awesome. Albert, you checking in?
Yep, this is Albert here, checking in.
Okay, Jill, you there?
I am here with
Corey McFarlane, Seth and Todd's little brother.
Excellent. And Cody, last check-in. How you doing?
Hello, hello. Coming to you from the basement of the humble yet magnificent treehouse in Cairo, New York. Home, former home of Ree Brickhouse.
Okay, sounds like another cellar-dwelling wirehead. And I am your cool, calm, collected, counterculture collaborator that is caffeinated and COVID-free, Mr. Conductor. Okay, Brendan is our guest tonight. Why do we have you here, and what do you do?
I think I'm here. Cody invited me to come on the show, and we're going to talk a little bit about the face shields that we were making for CMH and other essential workers in the area.
Cool. That's good work. I hear it's been well received by the people that have been working there.
Yeah, we cranked them out. We got a 500, like, it wasn't just Cody and I, there's a much bigger team involved in this, but we ended up making 500 for CMH, and that was enough for them. And then we started turning to like nursing homes in the area, as well as ARC and other essential workers. We were just kind of like reaching out, like who needs them. And then every week we'd kind of distribute them for the last 3 months or so.
How did you hear about the Maker Syndicate?
We got connected to the Maker Syndicate through Jessica at Nervous System. And I think Liam Singer also put out feelers as well. But we were kind of like putting out word. We knew we needed more people involved and printing if we were going to have any chance of meeting such a large capacity. And so through those places, we got connected. We'd heard there was a 3D printer in the space, and then eventually got connected to Cody and started like churning them out.
It was a long struggle, wasn't it? The first few weeks was just like things breaking over and over again.
So many things breaking, so much creative problem solving. Someone in our group was like kind of just exhausted, and they're like, I feel like we're trying to put the man on the moon, just because there was so little sleep, so much caffeine, and I was just constantly trying to troubleshoot with limited resources.
Sounds like standard COVID fare.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, it was for a good cause, so kind of kept me going the long nights.
Well, that was rad.
Designing various iterations on different models, seeing what I could tweak to make our machines, the Maker Syndicate machines, print more reliably.
Yeah, what are you guys printing exactly? Why don't you explain what it is that you're making?
Specifically coming out of our space, our studio.
Yeah, is it the ear guards or like the ear saver?
No. The visors, like the shields that go in front of your face, in front of your mask, and stop a lot of particulates from reaching you. And we were doing the solid parts, like the headbands and some reinforcement pieces.
Okay.
Yeah, so the face shields are kind of like splash guards for, you know, directly in your face exposure. And there are four components involved in making a face shield. Two of them can be 3D printed. And it takes it's the longest part of the process to make. So Cody was instrumental in kind of like reducing the print time, like making designs that were more efficient for those pieces that we could print faster and then keep up with making the plastic visors and the stretchy headbands in the back.
What was the component that couldn't be manufactured?
So basically the clear plastic shield that goes in the front, the 3D printed part is kind of a headband that rests on the forehead, and then a chin piece that is attached to the bottom of the clear plastic visor. And so the clear plastic visor, we were trying to find a source of like acetate in the area that we could use, because it was drying up all over the place online. It was really hard to acquire that. And one of the members on our team, an artist named Amelia Tolke, who teaches like some metal classes at SUNY New Paltz, she came up with the idea
of, well, could we use the laminate sheets in the local library system and then just laminate the sheets but without anything inside them? So you make a thicker, clear piece of plastic. And then her and her partner, Anthony Irwin, used a plotter to cut those to like the specifications that we needed.
That's spectacular. That's the kind of innovation I like hearing around here.
Oh, dude, it was crazy. So in order to like get the numbers that we needed, we more or less exhausted the laminate sheet inventory in the local library systems across Columbia and Greene County. So Sue Ray and Catskill Library, she blasted all the librarians in Greene County. And then the librarian in Chatham, what's her name? Lisa DeLisi. I believe that's right. She blasted all the librarians in Columbia County. Oh yeah, Julie DeLisi. And through that, we were able to like harvest the stock and get it laminated and then get it cut. Yeah, and then the last piece was the kind of flexible band in the back that holds it, makes it adjustable and keeps it on people's heads securely and comfortably. A lot of the sewing groups had exhausted the elastic supply in the area, so it was really hard to get elastic at that time. And we eventually were able to troubleshoot it and use disposable blood straps, like tourniquet straps that you'd normally put around your arm to like draw blood. We were able to secure like large supplies of those, and then we just kind of cut them to size and attach them. So yeah, it was definitely like a kludgy collective effort to like get the whole thing designed and built.
I have one question. Currently in New York State, we're doing magnificently as far as COVID is concerned. Our numbers are going down and they're staying that way. However, everywhere else, lots of other parts of the country, we're seeing numbers start to spike again. And we're starting to worry about shortages happening again. Now, if things start to hit the fan again here in New York, is there a place that people can contact you to donate any sort of resources that they might find helpful?
At this point, so Liam Singer kind of led the fundraising effort, and he helped us, and the broader community in the area have definitely stepped up, and we were able to get $5,000 to like secure additional supplies, and we didn't charge any of the people we were donating to, and so we have exhausted that, and there isn't like a donate link that's currently up. Basically where things are at with the supplies and the operation is, in the beginning, like there wasn't really any major manufacturers or companies that were set up to do this, which is why you saw local maker spaces here in the area, as well as elsewhere, kind of step up and fill in that gap. Right now, it's a question of like, can the larger manufacturers, now that they've switched over, so like, Nike, even Ford Motor Company is making face shields now. Can they keep up with the demand? Right now, they seem to be able to do that. It's a question of like, in a few months, if it continues to grow, will they, be able to keep pace? And so we're kind of keeping an eye and monitoring that situation. So right now, like, we can't, because we're smaller scale, we can't make face shields at cost more cheaply than the larger manufacturers. But that equation could change in a few months. So we're kind of just keeping our eyes open. And if we do have to fire up these engines again and start like raising resources, I will definitely reach out to you guys to help get the word out. But as of right now, we're just kind of monitoring the situation with the larger manufacturers producing at this point.
That is great news. Okay.
If there is somebody who wants to contact us about this, you can probably email, what is it,
catskillmakersinfo@gmail.com. once again, that is catskillmakersinfo@gmail.com.
Brennan, do you want to give Purposes info email?
Oh yeah, I can pull that up. I don't know that top of my head. So like when we started doing this, it was kind of like late March. It was late March, and there were four of us out of the Purpose co-working and makerspace, which is just across the river in Philmont. And let's see, where is our?
I think it's info@purpose.work, right?
Yeah, Cody, you're on top of it. Nice. Yeah, info@purpose.work. There's also an Instagram account up for Purpose if people are interested in kind of just seeing behind the scenes of the making of it. But yeah, there were four of us there that started making them, and we were just kind of
freezing cold in Basilica Hudson assembling things.
It was wild. Mid-March, like people were in like winter jackets and like winter hats when it started. At Purpose, we started printing right away and started like figuring out the visors and the headbands. And then we knew we needed to scale. There was no way the four of us were going to be able to like meet the target numbers. And so Liam helped us get connected. Catskill Maker Syndicate came online. Cody came online, started producing. There's another group out in East Chatham. Led by Will, who was kind of, they started printing with us too. We were all coordinating to like print the same pieces so that we could do modular production at the different makerspaces. And then we had centralized assembly. So Liam helped us get connected to Basilica Hudson. And because they were closed and they weren't hosting any events, they kind of were really awesome and gave us access to their building. And so, like, this space, the Basilica Hudson, you know, was this industrial factory in the 1800s. And then all of a sudden in 2020, it's now a factory again, but making face shields for healthcare and essential workers in the area. And so every Monday for, like, the last 3 months, there was a team of, you know, probably, like, seven of us that would meet and then just for a couple hours just kind of hammer out assembling all the different components, and then we would disinfect them. Cooper Sutter Distillery donated several gallons of disinfectant to us, and so we had this protocol for assembling, disinfecting, and then we would kind of bag them and then deliver out of the Basilica.
Wow, tedious and fun.
Yeah, I think I saw a video of the process. Multi-step.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like
how
I would buy groceries during the beginning of the breakout.
Yeah, where you rushing all your groceries.
I'm sorry, Al?
Oh, you wash all your dishes or your groceries after shopping?
Oh, yeah. Pretty much still to this day, I kind of take the non-perishable stuff. I leave that in the car for a day so it can just sit there, and then the perishable stuff I bring in, wash in the sink, and then put in the fridge.
Sounds like a good plan.
I'm an essential worker. I have to do everything I can to try to stay clean.
I guess in a way, too, if you've shopped at multiple grocery stores, it can be viewed as decentralized production, and then if you, like, cook or make dishes and recipes at home, it's centralized assembly.
Wow. Or as my grandmother called it, life.
Life.
Right.
And, cooking at least your own food has been nice and safe, and I don't know about everybody else, but it's been keeping me away from all the fast food, and that alone has probably extended my life.
Yes, but Chinese is back.
Chinese, which is cooked and fried so hot that no virus could dare survive on it.
Oh, there was some bad news about the local Chinese chopstick.
Owner
had a stroke. So, are they open again?
I passed by. Her name's Linda. Passed by, and there was a note on the door. But that was like, imagine a stroke is like something. I don't.
Well, we all wish her a swift and speedy and full recovery.
Ah.
Yeah, and that's not just because we want our Chinese food back.
Oh, Oh, she had to be convinced to take Mondays off.
Oh, that's the spirit, I guess. Oh, Al, you got any new projects or anything over by you you're working on?
Not so much. Just personal stuff. I'm doing a office.
Personal stuff's fun.
Office slash a workspace in my garage. And I was working on that today, in fact, with Vinny at the Makerspace also. And got part of the roof up. And I got all the floor on and stuff, and it's framed out, so.
All right, progress.
That is my day. Oh, and I pulled an engine and transmission out of a little micro van.
Oh, that's finally getting worked on? Awesome.
Yeah, that's finally getting worked on, too, so.
That's a Japanese van, right?
It is. And it's a right-hand drive, which is kind of cool. But once they're more than 25 years old, I think it is, it's an antique, so it becomes legal to import and register. So that car was more expensive to import and to ship over than it was to buy. It was like less than $1,000 or something with like 80,000 miles on it.
Wow, that's a good van.
What's the model of that van?
It's a Mitsubishi Bravo, and it's a special kind of car from Japan called a Ki car or K car. I'm not quite sure how to pronounce it. Where they're really small, they fit within certain dimensions, and then they're cheaper to register. And they have Japan has very strict restrictions on inspection and smog and like that. So these cars are cheaper to register and to park and like that. So it's a special tiny version of a car from Japan.
Mm, cool.
They're pretty cool and efficient and stuff.
Don't get hit by an SUV.
No, definitely not. It's a three-cylinder little tiny engine that we
can use. Oh, nice. Three cylinders became real popular when the gas prices skyrocketed not too long ago.
Yeah, this is a 93, I think. Gas is expensive in Japan and has been for a long time, I think.
Oh yeah, Europe too. Pretty much any place that's not the States, it's almost double or triple.
Are you getting the cylinders rehomed or just gonna put a new engine?
No, the new engine is very expensive, like several thousand dollars, but there's an engine kit for a few hundred that we can order. So we have to get the block up to a machine shop and see what size the cylinders are now. I doubt the engine's ever been bored out before, so we can go up like a quarter size. There's different piston sizes that you can buy.
Vroom, vroom.
I just say, let's make them bigger, because it's pretty slow and low on horsepower. We can squeeze a few more horsepower out of it by boring out the cylinders to the max.
Definitely. Yeah. That's the old school way of, pumping up the power, before they started putting NOS and other crap in cars.
Yeah, that's right. Just bigger cylinders. More surface area.
I was curious about what you guys had to gripe about. I was told that it was something new to gripe about.
Gripe?
We always have something to gripe about. Let me just pull up a web browser.
I know, right?
Oh, I was just curious.
Does anybody have any specific gripes at the forefront of their mind?
Well, the gripe in question that I believe Jill is referring to is the article that I saw recently. It was Red Hat audit to, quote, eradicate problematic language in its code.
I was just going to bring that one up.
Political correctness has reached the coding front.
I'd say it's more than reached. It's it's been there a while.
So do you have examples of what would get? Yeah.
Don't you, instead of master and slave?
Yeah, so the terms master and slave are used a lot in code as a reference to when a certain function or process has control over another. And they want to remove terms like whitelist and blacklist to identify when something is permitted or forbidden.
Well, notoriously calling anything good white and anything bad black, that can lead to problems.
Yeah, there's a similar issue with cars, too. I mean, that's very much the terminology used in you know, brakes and clutches and, you know, master cylinder, slave cylinders. I think it's old engineering stuff, old engineering lingo.
And, you know, the folks who wanted to rename GIMP, Glimpse.
GIMP, the GNU what? Image Manipulation Program? Why would that name ever need to be changed? But I'm kind of curious what the new terminology is supposed to be. We call things master and slave because that is the respective relationship between them.
Right.
One and object that's... is controlling another. Yeah, not good when you apply it to humans, but it's a very common theme when you apply it to mechanics and even coding. So what are we going to call it now? Boss and
proposing...
worker?
They're proposing to call it to call the master the main. No replacement for the slave is given at this point. Not that I've seen.
Servant?
But whitelist and blacklist are allowlist and denialist, which is okay. Sure.
Roll and controlled? I don't know.
Command and conquer.
Commander and conquered. I don't know.
Ooh.
Yeah, see, that's still problematic. I just... There's nothing wrong with
and that,
master and slave.
How about
in
free
terms of this.
And chained?
God.
Let's just dig it deep.
Now you're trying to poke the bear.
He's filling in for Brian right now.
That's true,
well,
we're missing...
We gotta choose another appropriate word, and that's essentially what these words represent.
So the cat wrangler is almost home. He's probably getting home right about now.
Then why isn't he on?
Wrangling the cats.
Driving cross country is exhausting, that's why.
Well, alright. I hope he gets back safely. We are talking about Brian X, our cat wrangler / sound technician that I've been having to fill in for, and I've been doing a woefully inadequate job of.
Well, you haven't exactly been doing the same exact job, either.
Yeah,
it's mechanically different than just, you know, sitting there and with the actual physical mixer.
Oh yeah, things are a lot easier when all I gotta do is sit there, or in our last office configuration, stand up and walk around as I darn well please, with a piece of paper in my hand. That was freeing. Now I'm kind of attached to stuff with headphones, 1, 2, 3 different keyboards, 3 different computers, rerouting audio from one end to the other, into the other.
Getting hot in here. I can't turn on the AC.
Fortunately, mine's buzzing away in another room with a fan blowing at me, so you guys can't hear it.
Right. 7:27.
Yep, we're just eating up the time.
Anybody
today.
Else have anything they want to talk about? Brendan?
Why are you looking at me?
Because you're the guest. You're the one that we rely on to,
yeah,
you
exactly.
know, fill
not
in the gap.
Not in 3 minutes. 2 minutes.
All right.
You asked me to rant like two minutes before?
What are you doing in the basement, Cody?
Right now, I am... I was working on Tom's computer. It has a power switch problem, which was befuddling until unplugging everything and then putting it all back together again.
That computer seems like a never-ending trouble.
Maybe so. Hopefully after tonight it will be smooth sailing from here on out for him.
And likewise, if anybody has questions about repairing their computer, their car, reboring their pistons, etc., you can contact us at catskillmakersinfo@gmail.com, and we'll be happy to answer any of those for you on air or even in between shows. And everybody is listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM, radio for open ears. We're going to play the monthly Weird Al song, take a quick break, put together some stuff to come back and complain about for you people. Be right back.
Hi. can't read my poker face.
She's got the love nobody.
Can't read mine. No, he can't read my poker face.
She's got the love nobody.
Pa 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 poker face, pa pa poker face.
Ma 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 ma.
Pa 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 poker face, pa pa poker face.
Hey!
Womanizer, woman, womanizer, you're a womanizer.
Oh, womanizer,
oh, you're a womanizer, baby.
You are.
Womanizer. Boy, don't try to front. I know just what you are. Boy, don't try to front. I know just what you are. You say I'm crazy. I've got your crazy. You're nothing but a womanizer. You spin my head right round when you go down, when you go down, down.
You spin my head
right round when you go down, when you go down.
Hey!
Day and night, the lonely stoner seems to free his mind at night. He's all alone through the day and night.
Day and night,
the lonely loner seems to free his mind at night. At night, it's a quarter after one. I'm a little drunk and I need you now. Said I wouldn't call, but I lost all control and I need you now. And I don't know how I can do without. I just need you now. And I was like, baby, baby, baby. So what? I'm still a rock star. I've got my rock moves, and I don't need you. And guess what? I'm having more fun. And now that we're done, I'm gonna show you tonight. I'm alright. I'm just fine. And you're a tool. So what? I am a rock star. I've got my rock moves, and I don't want you tonight. I kissed a girl, and I liked it. The taste of her cherry chapstick. I kissed a girl just to try it.
I hope my boyfriend don't mind it.
It felt so wrong, it felt so right. Don't mean I'm in love tonight. I kissed a girl and I liked it. I liked it. And I'd like to make myself believe that planet Earth turns slowly. It's hard to say that I'd rather stay awake when I'm asleep. Cause everything is never as it seems. Blame it on the goose, got you feeling loose. Blame it on the throne, got you in the zone. Blame it on the alcohol. Blame it on the alcohol. Blame it on the vodka, blame it on the Henny. Blame it on the blue cat, got you feeling dizzy. Blame it on the alcohol. Blame it on the alcohol. Shouties like a melody in my head that I can't keep out. Got me singing like na 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 every day. It's like my iPod stuck on replay, stuck on replay, stuck on replay, 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 a a a a. Baby, are you down, 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 down? Baby, are you down? I'm only gonna break, break your, break your heart. I'm only gonna break your, break your heart. I'm only gonna break your, break your heart. I'm only gonna break your heart. Don't stop, make it pop, DJ, blow my speakers up tonight. I'm a fight till we see the sunlight. Tick tock on the clock, but the polka don't stop.
No.
Yodel-o-lady, yodel-o-lady.
Pa-pa-pa-polka face, pa-pa-polka face.
Pa-pa-pa-polka face, pa-pa-polka face.
Oh, no, you can't read my
pa-pa-polka face. Talk about my polka face. Pa-pa-pa-polka
And we are back on the Thingularity radio program, broadcasting here on WGXC 90.7 FM. And we're going to be kicking it over to Cody, who is got an issue with our phones.
Yeah, it's a spy device. Get rid of them immediately, if you know what's good for you.
Okay, so, what's the alternative?
So what spurs this is... an article from St. Catherine's Standard in Canada. The bones of the COVID alert have been quietly downloaded onto phones in Ontario. And it's supposed to be an app that is voluntary, which helps.
But if it's voluntary, why is it already downloading onto your phone?
That's the trick, isn't it? Isn't that the trick? Yeah, it's supposed to help contact tracing, but it's on both Google's Android and Apple's iOS phones.
So basically everyone?
Everybody. Somewhere deep in the settings, someone has found a setting called COVID-19 Exposure Notifications. Now, they're trying to walk it back and say that, oh, well, it's not activated, the app isn't live yet. But the question is, why is it there now, if it's voluntary? It's an invasion of privacy. This app is going to communicate via Bluetooth with whoever you come close enough to. That's like 15 feet of range, if I recall, for a standard Bluetooth signal.
So, I think the scary part here isn't the fact that it has anything to do with COVID. It's the fact that Apple and Android are perfectly capable of installing anything they want on your phone to do anything they want to you.
Right. No permission required.
So you don't actually own your phone. And in many ways, your phone owns you.
Well, that's true of a lot of software, too. I mean, that's, you know, there's Photoshop and things like that are just gone over to subscription services. And I think phones are expected to just die every couple of years and you get another one. Because they don't get patches or security updates, most of them.
Yeah, and that's horrible because my phones, the hardware lasts usually over a decade, no problem.
I mean, just the e-waste is...
Jill, you're cutting out a bit.
Oh, I'm...
You said the e-waste.
Yes, it creates a lot of that.
Yeah, and that's a lot of heavy metals.
And then, like, people...
Okay, I guess we're having problems with Jill.
Well, what we could somebody did is they put a tracker in like a computer that he donated to like a local transfer station to see where it went, and it went overseas.
To China?
I think to Africa. So he tracked this device there.
Yeah, the electronics recycling tends to go to poor countries that, you know, it's very, like, toxic, nasty stuff that's extracting those precious metals back out of them.
A lot of places like India, and they have child labor do it because it's, you know, easier.
Yeah, I've seen quite a few videos of Southeast Asia, India, of just, like, you look at it, you consider it a trash pile, and there's a couple dudes sitting around a torch, a blowtorch, just melting out and burning away all the precious metals.
I think the point that we're getting at is the scenario we're describing is intentional. This is created by the companies Apple and Android so that their profits stay up. They could easily replace the software and update and improve software on their phones and keep them going for much longer. They just don't, because it's like curing a disease as opposed to treating the symptoms. Not nearly as profitable. Far more ethical, but not nearly as profitable.
Wasn't Apple caught purposefully slowing down certain pieces of hardware like iPods or iPod Touches?
Supposedly
in an effort to preserve battery life.
Exactly.
But slowing down the CPU also makes you frustrated with the lack of speed and responsiveness.
Right, they snuck a secret update that checked for battery health, essentially. So in phones that were more than a couple years old, the battery doesn't last as long, and Apple just decided to slow everything down in those phones in order to keep the apparent battery life at, you know, 8 hours or whatever they expect.
Because you can't be trusted to replace your own battery.
Exactly. That's what I'd like to point out. This isn't a problem or an actual issue that's being resolved. This is just a symptom. The actual issue is the fact that you can't change your battery anymore. They've sealed it inside the device so that when the battery, the highest mortality part in any phone, dies, it takes the entire system with it. And then the phone ends up being shipped across the ocean and being ripped apart for its raw elements.
Not only that, but they also create, they're servicing unrealistic expectations of how long hardware is supposed to last.
Like, what do you mean
really,
by that?
Should you really expect that your phone or your laptop is going to work, or your even just your battery, is going to work the exact same 5 years down the road?
My Galaxy S5 does.
You're saying you get the same battery life?
Oh, I'm on my third battery because mine was designed by people that care about me.
That's what I'm saying. Like, people should have realistic expectations about the products they buy.
The hardware is good. It's just the batteries have, like, kicked the bucket because they only have, what, a thousand or so cycles on them?
Yeah, there's a limit to it.
Well, that means in 2 years, every battery is pretty much dead and you need a new one.
I'm seeing that trend a lot with toys now, too. Like, remote control cars and stuff come with built-in rechargeable batteries. You know, and like the little tiny toy drones and stuff. So,
right.
I guess when those batteries die, you just get another toy.
Or you find a local makers syndicate and have them help you replace the battery.
That's right. That's what we do.
That way, we love acting out the life of products. Yeah.
I soldered a wall wart onto this Hot Wheels, like the little booster things that send the Hot Wheels going fast down the track.
Is this your microvan?
No, this is for my kids. they like to play with it. We like to ramp the Hot Wheels, so I hooked up a beefier power supply. It's getting extra volts. It really
nice. Shoots
the car. So those night bulbs don't have a lot of don't have a lot of juice.
No,
though.
Yeah, there you go. It doesn't run out either. Just plug it in.
Put it right through your window. That's what it'll do.
Al, how did it work?
Oh, it's great. I put a plug on it and everything, so I can just unplug it from the... I just soldered it onto where the batteries go on. I soldered the wall wart behind, and I can unplug it. We could still use batteries if they want to, you know, if we needed to for some reason, but...
No one's going to want to do that. Plug it into the wall and send them flying.
That's right. It shoots, I don't know, 10 or 12 feet. It's pretty good. It'll ramp pretty good.
All right.
So, Hades, me could only dream of that.
Brendan, you wanted to circle back around to the Red Hat thing?
Oh, yeah. No,
language?
Yeah, just kind of playing devil's advocate a little bit. So just kind of, I guess, unpacking or recognizing, like, where it's come from and, like, where the motivation to make those changes is coming from and, like, the larger sort of unrest and, like, call for, like, racial justice and equality. And, like, you know, we're in the middle of this huge movement right now, and there's a question of, like, you know, what changes should be made and are going to be, like, aligned with that and supportive of that, and then what maybe, which I think you're kind of, like, we're hinting at earlier, go too far sort of thing. And what is the harm done in changing some stuff along those lines? So, like, you know, like, early, you know, there's all this work on, like, the effects of, like, implicit associations and, like, how that leads to differences in sort of, like, implicit bias and behavior, and, like, having a culture where Black is associated as, like, negative and white's associated as positive, not just in engineering, just, like, throughout different spaces, and what the accumulative effects of that are. I'm not saying that I have the answers on this. It's just interesting to think about, like, where it's coming from and, like, sort of the larger zeitgeist that we're in the middle of.
I hear what you're saying, and I see it. I do see what you're saying with, like, terms like black sheep. No, that's a negative sort of term. And but my question is, what will this effectively change? Like, what will it do in terms of the effects that the average man and woman on the street will see?
Language is powerful. It will affect people in ways they don't even understand.
Source code that only a certain subset of technicians, you know, people who can program can see.
Programming's becoming more popular in modern culture. References are expanding into outside of just the nerds.
Well, not only that, but the nerds are a small group of mostly white males, and there's not a lot of women, not a lot of people of color. So, you know, I think things like that, at least in the formative stages of somebody learning and wanting to get involved, especially as a young kid, hearing language like that might turn them away from it, or just having a culture of like that feels toxic to them or somehow.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I remember trying to be a part of like nerdy groups in the 90s, and it was very like male dominated, and they want to get the girl out of the scene as quickly as possible.
They were just afraid of your internal genitalia.
I don't understand it. I'm like, don't you want girls around? Like, what's wrong? I don't know.
No, they're afraid of you.
You know, they had to like wonder about like their language that they could use around me. Fortunately, I'm pretty open about whatever people want to say. I'm not easily offended, but you know, I think people want to be free to like be bros together and stuff.
Locker room language.
Anyways, my point is that I think the effort that could be expended on this is probably better put elsewhere to much more serious problems.
Like?
I'd rather not go there, but...
Oh, no, you got to go there. You started.
Do I have to?
At least one.
How about problems with authority? Problems with authority. How about that?
If anybody's curious, I found an article I was looking while we were talking that... So the OpenZFS project, that's what Red Hat runs, I believe. They did not get rid of masters, but they changed slaves to dependents. So that's the update in that code.
Sounds like welfare state language.
And then a couple other big software projects, the Bind DNS server, which is included with Ubuntu and a lot of server distributions, they changed to primary secondary. Drupal, which is a big content management system, used leader and follower. Primary and replica is another one. So.
If you want to be all inclusive, I mean, you've got to, you know, think about, I guess, what you know other people might feel if they saw that stuff.
The hard part is you're erasing decades worth of ingrained language, but the benefit really does seem to outweigh the risk or the work involved. And if things are going to become more inclusive, do it now. Rip off the Band-Aid now and just get used to the new world.
It takes time to adjust to new language, and you got to be like sure that you want to change your language.
Yeah, and to be honest, I used to have a problem with the word problematic, but I've gotten used to it.
I like all those changes that Albert proposed. Every single one of them. I like them.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and yeah, Cody, totally, like, I get where you're coming from of, like, where's things go too far or, like, prioritizing what the issues are. It's just, you know, it's just we're in, like, this huge moment and, like, you know, maybe it's okay if we go a little too far and then adjust back or something. Just, like, the deficit we're trying to make up for now. It's, like, everybody in all levels, or not everybody, that's too bold of a statement. Clearly some people aren't, but like, you know, it's a time to like reflect as people and as organizations of like what's already baked into our DNA and the way that we think and feel, and how can we, you know, try to shift towards being more inclusive, being better brothers and sisters, you know?
Thank you, Brendan.
I feel you. Bye. Thank you.
Yeah. Wait, Joe, FCC rules. We can't talk about prices and we can't swear. But right. What's the? Is there any illicit references that can be made, or no?
I don't think I know what you're trying to refer to.
Yeah,
hence the problem with the FCC.
Yeah. Let's offline.
You can say whatever you'd like, as long, you know, think about incrimination, I guess, of yourself.
You can talk about drugs.
Yeah. Whatever. We're good. Yeah. Light him if you got him. Light him if you got him. But you...
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, yes.
Who's doing that?
Not I. Let the record.
I'm gonna track you down.
That was Bongo the robot.
Oh, I can't blame an AI.
Right. Yeah, it sounded pre-recorded.
Got about.
Corey, I heard your voice pipe up. You got some history for us?
Oh yesy. Okay. Science history this month, July. On July 1st, 1941, regular commercial TV broadcasting began in the U.S. July 5th, 1687, Isaac Newton published the Principia, the Mathematical Principles of Natural Philosophy, in which he analyzed the relationships between force, motion, and time, particularly that of heavenly bodies.
Woo-hoo! That's when we really started to get rolling.
1996, Dolly the Clone Sheep was born at the Roslin Institute in Edinburgh, Scotland.
July. She didn't last too long, did she?
I think this popped up a couple months. I think in the last couple of months, I think she lasted till like 2004, or maybe that was when it was announced. But yeah, maybe less than 10 years, you know.
Awesome.
July 7th, 1936, U.S. patents were issued for the Phillips head screw and screwdriver to his inventor, Henry F. Phillips.
Good, finally, two awesome. Things that were invented at the same time.
Yeah.
Unlike the can and the can opener. You know?
July 9th, 1993, British and Russian scientists used DNA genetic fingerprinting to identify bone fragments discovered in 1979 as those of Tsar Nicholas II and his family, executed on July 17th, 1918, and Anastasia screamed in vain. July 10th, 1892, the first concrete paved street was built in Bellefontaine, Ohio. Called Artificial Stone at the time, a preserved portion remains there to this day.
Don't think I missed that Rolling Stones reference.
1962, the world's first geosynchronous active communication satellite, Telstar 1, was launched from Cape Canaveral to relay TV and telephone signals between the U.S. and Europe.
And thanks to that, we have a sweet guitar riff.
July 13th, 1977, multiple lightning strikes plunged New York City into a 25-hour blackout. Tensions from the financial crisis and the Son of Sam murders led to riots and looting. As dramatized in a Spike Lee movie.
Same old.
July 14th, 1853, inspired by the British Crystal Palace exhibition several years prior, the first U.S. World's Fair opened in New York. 1867, Alfred Nobel made his first demonstration of dynamite in Surrey, England. July 16th, 1935, the first parking meters were installed in the Oklahoma City Business District.
Cursing the world from henceforth.
1945, the Trinity test in the desert near Alamogordo, New Mexico, successfully detonated the first atomic bomb. Yeah.
Yeah, I got nothing for that.
And become death. 1969, Apollo 11 carrying Neil Armstrong, Edwin Buzz Aldrin, and Michael Collins took off from Cape Kennedy for the first manned moon mission. 4 days later, 700 million TV viewers watched as Armstrong and Aldrin became the first humans to walk on the moon, unless you believe certain conspiracy theorists.
Many decades later, didn't he go on to deck one of those conspiracy theorists in the face? Oh yeah.
That's what you get. That's what you get for questioning NASA.
And deliver one of the most weirdest and funniest openings on WWF Raw. July 18th, 1968.
He's a human too.
Mm-hmm. July 1968, new NM Electronics was founded by Gordon E. Moore and Robert Noyce and redubbed as Intel, short for Integrated Electronics, later that year. 1986, video taken from the deep sea sub Alvin showed the Titanic's remains were released. No sign of the heart of the ocean diamond, though. July 20, 1976, the Viking 1 lander spacecraft made the first ever landing on Mars. July 25th, 1978, Louise...
Yeah, and it found life.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, you know, and having to cut this down, I always, you know, feel bad when I have to, you know, because, yeah, that may not, you know, yeah, that wasn't in the original piece, but, you know, yeah, I did have an on-board laboratory to examine soil samples.
Oh, yeah, you ain't getting by me. That thing found methane, and it found signs of biological activity on that planet. And to this day, there are still scientists that say that it is proof of life. There isn't a consensus yet, mind you, but there's some strong voices.
Yep. July 25th, 1978, Louise Joy Brown, the first in vitro fertilization or test tube baby, was born in Oldham, England. 1997, the first cultivation of human stem cells using tissue taken from aborted embryos was announced, and thus began many decades of controversy. July 27th, 1866, after two failed attempts, the first underwater telegraph cable connection connecting North America and Europe was finished.
Oh, that was an story.
Yeah. 1921, insulin was isolated at Toronto University. 1931, a swarm of grasshoppers descended upon Iowa, Nebraska, and South Dakota, destroying thousands of acres of crops. July 29th, 1927, the first electric respirator, or iron lung, was installed at Bellevue Hospital in New York in response to the polio epidemic. Philip Drinker and Louise Augustus Shaw of Harvard University built it with two vacuum cleaners. July 30th.
Hey, sounds like what's going on lately with people trying to get ingenuity, you know.
Yeah. Okay, July 30th, 1898, William Kellogg invented cornflakes.
And if you haven't seen the movie, well, Road to Wellville, yes.
A new use for yogurt.
July 31st, 1971, as part of the Apollo 15 mission, Dave Scott became the first person to drive a vehicle on the moon, the battery-powered lunar rover. Finally, 1990, the recombinant DNA Advisory Committee of the National Institutes of Health approved experiments in gene therapy for the insertion of new genes into body cells. And that's that month in science history.
All right, thank you, Corey. Anybody got any last words before we start to wrap up today? Anything they want to talk about?
We got some rants for next month. I hope we get to...
Check out Catsco Mini Golf on Instagram. No spaces.
Remember that you could contact us with any questions that you have. CatskillMakersInfo@gmail.com. We are still helping out the Mermaid Cafe with a promotion for free tacos or whatever you'd like to buy with our gift certificate. There will be promotions on social media for that if you would like to have access.
Right.
Okay, and... All right. You guys have been listening to the Thingularity Radio Program. Our guest tonight was Brendan... Brendan, say goodbye.
Adios.
Our biologist, Cody. Our mathematics department lead, Albert Flores. Our historian, Corey McFarlane. Or whatever. Whatever. Comms officer, Jill. And we have... we're missing Brian, who we hope gets back to us soon. Heading back this way on his...